I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We enter the second hour of Kale and Company News Live, sponsored by Kitchen Magic this morning. 44 degrees, cloudy, a little foggy out there, but we are going to heat up to 69 on this first day of spring. Let's get to it. If we look at the news today and what's going on in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and beyond, this criminal suspect in critical condition right now, burns covering his body after police say this guy was electrocuted by a transformer box while he tried to steal copper wire. This happened in the Northeast, Philadelphia's Busselton neighborhood. It all happened late last night. It's, if you know where this is, it's by that torn down KFC that's right by Grand Avenue and the Boulevard. This guy, they're not releasing a name or anything of that nature, and they're saying that he's in his 40s. He cut the lock off a transformer box trying to steal some copper wire inside, but don't cut the red wire.
Yes.
He cut into this high voltage cable, and this caused a shock, electrocuted him, started the fire. That's why he's covered in burns as well. But it also cut off power to an entire neighborhood, many businesses, many residents. So Pico obviously shut it down and then had to fix everything and then had to, you know, restore power to all more than 1,000. It looks like at least 1,500 customers lost power.
Is that what also impacted us here around Market Street with the lights?
That's what I had mentioned earlier. We don't have, what did you just say?
Yeah.
It did. Okay.
It did. Yeah.
Okay.
So I believe this is all interrelated.
The traffic light around there is still out.
Yes. They've got makeshift stop signs put up.
Yep. 100%. Yeah, it did.
Awful.
Crazy.
I know.
So as far as this guy, he's facing the criminal charges. If he survives, he's in rough shape. He was electrocuted, badly burned over, his face, his upper body, in other words, neck, chest, arms, all of that.
You know, we have a very intelligent audience that seems to have the answer to everything. They know all this, quote, useless information. I'm going to put a request out to our audience. What? So this guy is trying to pull out the copper wire inside the box. Does anybody know what that piece of copper wire, and I don't know how long it is. Is it 2.5 feet worth? What does that go for? What is the value of it? I'm just trying to figure out, was it really worth trying to steal this copper wire? Is this worth thousands and thousands of dollars? Or are you just a dope that was trying to make $200 and you blew yourself up?
So as of March 20th, 25, the going rate for copper wire varies depending on its type and condition. But generally, bare, bright copper wire, uncoated, unalloyed, fetches the highest price around $3.80 to $3.90 per pound.
Per pound. I don't know how many pounds he was planning on getting away with, but at $3.90 a pound, I don't think he's going to get rich.
Well, he...
Right?
He got fried.
Yeah. No, he got something. He got barbecued.
It also begs the question, is he an individual, independent entrepreneur who just goes around stealing the copper wire?
Small business guy.
Or is this a situation where there's a need, somebody puts out the fact, what comes first? Is it the demand? And somebody says, hey, I need an order of such and such. So I think that's a piece of what they're looking at.
And is this a part of a larger operation, right?
So is it a ring where they say, this is what we need, this is how many pounds, et cetera, and we need this type, and then they know where to look?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of this investigation. We have a disturbing report, but it ended up that a little girl is being praised. 8-year-old child who says that she stabbed an attempted abductor with her very sharp pencil. Berlin Township in New Jersey, a child reporting that incident after she got to her grade school. It's John F. Kennedy Elementary School. So it's actually Camden County, New Jersey. Where did I see Bergen? But in any event, it's Berlin Township. Did I say Bergen? I'm sorry. Berlin Township. It's Camden, South Jersey.
And this was a number two pencil?
That's what one of the reports said.
Yes.
It was a very sharp number two pencil that she had. This man approached her, was trying to abduct her. And there's a lot of reaction, a lot of shock.
I was always a big fan of the number two pencil over the lead pencil, the mechanical pencil in school. I was anti-lead pencil.
Oh, really?
Not a huge fan of this, no. No, I was always old school, traditional. I like to go up to the machine, the little pencil sharpener by the desk, start turning it.
Well, it turns out, thank God that she had that.
Yep.
Exactly, because she had something that she had tried to protect herself and tried to fight the guy. The only description that we have is that he has a dark beard, wearing dark clothes, a baseball cap. So the detectives across South Jersey looking for any kind of surveillance images or cameras in the area that may have captured this guy's image. But for the child, she was shaken, got to school, reported it, and did everything that she could do. So everybody, like you did, Nick, earlier this morning, just saying, thank God, good for you. You fought off the guy, and she's safe at school. But there's a lot of parental reaction to this morning. And as well, this middle school science teacher. This is Norristown, Pennsylvania, which is obviously Montgomery County. This middle school science teacher facing charges after he's accused of requesting to kiss an eighth grade student during an upcoming field trip. And the report here is that this guy was sending messages to this child, to this student, and it was very awkward for her. Allegedly, there's tangible evidence of this, that there's something in the form of a note or an email, that sort of thing. But it was ahead of an upcoming field trip. Under arrest is Newtown Square's resident, 57-year-old John Richards. So police have arrested him. He faces charges of attempted institutional sex assault, very serious charges, unlawful contact with a minor, other related offenses. So the good news here, and these are really two stories of two girls, 1-8, 1-13, who did the right thing. In this case, this 13-year-old girl became, according to police, uncomfortable with this, didn't know what to do. And so after the interaction, the latest interaction with this science teacher, she calls dad and tells dad and says, can you pick me up, dad? And this is happening. And this teacher is saying these things. She felt very awkward about it and intimidated. And dad calls police. They investigate.
You know, we've debunked and looked at all the data points for plane incidents, school shootings. They don't happen with any more frequency than they did 20, 30, 35 years ago. Do we feel the same without looking at the numbers of teachers that are just sexually attracted to minors? I feel, this is nothing new. I mean, every day I swear you look at social media and a teacher in Texas or somebody in Florida slept with their student. But do you think this has happened? I know, Dawn, you see pedophiles around every block. But do you think this is happening at a higher frequency rate than back in the day?
Well, I think that there is an awareness of it. And I think that we have all these different task forces. There is great education. As much as we talk about education, I think the schools are doing a better job from the time kids are young of educating kids and educating the parents and the caregivers. So I think that it comes down to education, awareness, and these different task forces. A week ago, I had talked to Jen Shorn in Bucks County, but whether it's Kevin Steele in Montgomery County, we have all these different task forces. And by the way, a lot of different policing agencies work together, whether it's Philadelphia, South Jersey. You know, we have a real police community that they work together on this, and it's properly funded.
Mm-hmm.
And even the wording, we've talked about this over the past year, I'll say, where the wording, things are no longer called, child porn. They're really trying to get away from that and saying these are videos or materials of child sex abuse, that sort of thing. So I just think that's a part of the awareness, and the media plays a role in that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we have that one going on. Speaking of which, a few stories that we want to update you on, and that is the latest action involving a New York federal judge now denying the Trump administration's bid, the Trump administration's legal moves to dismiss the legal challenge. This was brought by this person who identifies himself as a victim of this government. His name is Mahmoud Khalil. We've reported on him, that Columbia grad student who is 29 plus years old. He calls himself an American political activist who was detained by immigration enforcement agents earlier this month. We've been reporting on the case. So the latest action was that he's been in a Louisiana prison, and as I've reported on. So the New York federal judge now has ordered the case transferred from Louisiana to New Jersey.
No. Change of venue in favor, I would presume, of the alleged defendant.
Yeah, so the Trump administration was trying to deport this guy, and so the federal judge, Jesse Furman, ordered that Khalil, the suspect, not be deported while the legal challenge continues. And it's being reported that he's a permanent United States resident because he has a green card. So he helped lead Columbia University's pro-Palestinian protests last spring, that he was leading those protests and was again arrested just in New York in March 8th, by federal immigration authorities. But they transferred him. See, they transferred him first to New Jersey and then to Louisiana, where he is right now. But now the judge is saying, no, he needs to be transferred back to New Jersey.
Okay. We'll see how that court case plays out. I'm assuming that's going to be something to keep an eye on probably for the next handful of months here in the spring.
Yeah. The judge, Judge Furman, says, given the fact that Khalil was in a detention center in New Jersey at the time his lawyers submitted their petition, it means that the New York court, quote, lacks jurisdiction over most, if not all, of his claims. That's the legal definition of why they've done this. And other news of the day, and this is really concerning, I know, to people across the country. And this one is that owners of vehicles, Tesla owners locally and nationally, confirming that this online map that's decorated with, if you see it, it's an image of a Molotov cocktail. And it's a map that is complete, even for local people, very accurate personal details about Tesla owners. So their only, I guess, crime, or their only reason for being targeted, is the fact that they own a Tesla vehicle. So it gives their home address and other very personal details. It's an online map that went live this week, and it says their name, their address, all their contact information. And this is also included the Tesla dealerships. So just part of what's going on here with this website. And, you know, local stations are indeed, the local news is all over this too, which is, I think, a good thing, talking to local owners about this. But this is a real level of intimidation. And so people feel highly threatened.
Yes, they should feel highly threatened. I mean, this is doxing.
Yeah.
This is this obsession with doxing and swatting people's personal information, and then having law enforcement with the swatting element showing up at your house, where you might get killed with one false move, or you put law enforcement in danger, or you divert resources in law enforcement to a non-situation when they could be defending a real situation. And now these people have to worry about, well, I drive a Tesla and my information, it's everything, Dawn. It's name, address, phone number, email. And these clowns with, I guess it's called DogeQuest, are providing the locations of every Tesla showroom, every charging station, and known residences of Doge employees.
It's so, I don't have the reaction as far as from Pam Bondi or DOJ. I think a lot of these are going to local law enforcement, who are indeed investigating, of course, every one of these.
And they have also doxed Kash Patel's home. And the website says, this is laughable, it neither endorses nor condemns any actions that are taken.
When you start with image of a Molotov cocktail.
Right.
And then you're giving people's private information and their home address.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine how frightening that would be.
I mean, how is that not domestic terrorism? How is what this guy, this story that I have from the New York Post, and I'm glad you mentioned the Molotov cocktail, yeah. This idiot, Daniel Clark Pounder, 24 from South Carolina, he burned down 3 EV chargers in a South Carolina parking lot, threw a Molotov cocktail, which also set himself on fire. So he's in the can now. He's got burns everywhere. He also spray painted Tesla property saying F Trump and long live the Ukraine. He is now facing 20 years in federal prison. I hope he gets every single day of 20 years.
It's shocking. This is just shocking to me that people think they can do this and get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's free speech. It's protest.
I would love to hear from, you know, Tesla owners if they're.
I'm tempted to get one just to see if anybody messes with me.
Oh, my gosh.
I would encourage it. I would embrace it. Go ahead.
Whew.
Let's see what happens. Tough guys.
Financial news. The Federal Reserve yesterday keeping interest rates unchanged. As central bank officials, you know, weigh the impact of the economy, what's going on. So the decision, they had their 2-day monetary policy meeting, but this came to a conclusion and shows that central bankers are waiting for evidence that inflation is headed toward their 2% target or that the economy may be weakening more than expected. So those are the two outcomes that would put rate cuts back on the table. So we have that unchanged with the Fed. I always report to you what's going on with the Fed as we all look toward, hopefully, a better economy. So we got that one going on. Let's talk about Kitchen Magic this morning. Make the magic happen. Kitchen Magic, experts guiding you every step of the way. In-home design consultation, top-notch installation. And right now, you can enjoy 40% off installation. 40% off the cost of installation. Just visit them, kitchenmagic.com today. Kitchen Magic, thank you for sponsoring us, especially since it's the first day of spring, nearly 69 degrees today. Tomorrow, much cooler, 55 degrees, bright sunny skies.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, it is the Great American Political Divide. Wait till you hear the biggest disparity amongst voters in America. It's probably not what you expected. It's courtesy of Steve Kornacki of NBC. We're going to get into this and why exactly it is this way. Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg, back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's spring, and you know what that means. Making sure that you want to keep your home warm, efficient, safe throughout every season of the year. And that's why, of course, I always turn to my guys at Marvin Ecans Heating and Air Conditioning. They were just out last week checking out the system. You want to make sure that you get the routine maintenance. And Marvin Ecans, by the way, a third-generation owned and military veteran founded company. So take my advice. Call my guys, Marvin Ecans. You want to get your system checked for the spring. If they feel your unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price. And, of course, install a high-efficiency train furnace, T-R-A-N-E. Yeah, they say it's hard to stop a train. Just contact Marvin Ecans Heating and Air Conditioning right now. My guys, Marvin Ecanze.com, Marvin Ecans. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
You.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Ed. He's in Delran. Unfortunately, he's got a swatting story to share. Ed, hello. How are you, buddy?
I am great, and I'm going to give you a rhyme first. Happy spring, because Nick, Dawn, and Greg are always doing and saying the end thing.
Well, yes. I mean, the ratings would confirm that. Yes, absolutely, Ed.
Been a
while, Ed. We haven't spoken in a while. You've been writing that one for weeks, haven't you?
No, I've just been busy with my business. But anyway, here's what I want
to
tell you. A friend of mine.
Business is good.
Yeah, better. Thank God for Trump.
Right.
So anyway, not for Meathead Murphy, by the way. So anyway, here's what I want to tell you. A friend of mine called me. He says he's sitting on his couch. This happened, let's say, like in the summer of last year. And he says all of a sudden he's sitting there in his underwear and some guy runs by his window. And he's like, oh, man, what's going on out there? So he opens the front door and two cops are standing there pointing guns at him. And one of the cops said to him, hey, we know that we see what you have, so we don't have to worry about searching you. Because he's standing there in his freaking boxer shorts.
And he definitely was swatted?
Oh, yeah, because, and basically he asked law enforcement several questions, and they said that they can send it on, like, some kind of computer or something to this effect and phony swat you. And basically they said that whoever swatted him said, oh, he was holding the hostages,
yep.
Okay, in his house. By gunpoint, and that's why all the sentiments and police showed up. They were just doing their job.
Right. Yeah, no, Ed, it's ridiculous, and that usually is the way it is set up. That's what happened with Sean Farish. These morons that call law enforcement, they either say that there's a hostage situation at a residence or a potential murder-suicide, so then you get the SWAT team there, you know, sheriffs. Sean Farish had to deal with it. Sean Farish, by the way, is still getting pizzas delivered to his house. Thankfully, the sheriffs and law enforcement are no longer being dispatched to, you know, his residence because they are aware of the situation now. So now he ends up getting pizza every single day. I mean, the guy's got enough pizza to last the rest of the calendar year. He's carb loading, for God's sakes, at this point. And I really, Cash Patel has said that they're going to get to the bottom of the swatting of these people, whether it's just an everyday individual in society, a social media influencer, a conservative media figure, or even a conservative Republican politician, which it's not going to surprise me if we get a story here anytime soon that, you know, God forbid, you know, the Jeff Van Drews of the world or somebody locally here ends up being swatted. And the scariest part of all of this to me is if you are unexpected to, if you're not suspecting any of this, and you're like, let's take Ed's buddy for example. My guy was hanging out in his underwear, so you could tell he wasn't concealing any weapons. He was probably watching football, gambling on a game, having a Budweiser. Not that I've ever done that, but I mean, you show somebody that the law enforcement shows up at your house, you're fully clothed, you're caught off guard. Let's say you just go to the window and snap your blinds open, or a quick false movement with a door coming out of a screen, or your wife maybe is very hysterical, she's emotional, or your kids, or your dog. I mean, you know, law enforcement, when these situations, they're on edge. They don't want to be dealing with this, much like you don't want to be dealing with this. And these people, these sick human beings, are just hoping and praying that law enforcement will empty a clip in somebody accidentally. And then not only do they get what they want with the intended victim of the swatting, then they want to ridicule police because they're anti-law enforcement.
You know, I know they just updated in the beginning of this year. It was Rick Scott from Florida, right? They're trying to bolster these anti-swatting laws, make it a federal crime. It technically, you know, obviously it's a crime, but I think what they're trying to do is put the word out there that if you do this and you waste local or federal law enforcement, you know, services, if you will, I think they're going to look toward, not that I'm a fan of mandatory minimums, but I think on this one, that's what they're going to end up doing. They're going to look toward some kind of mandatory minimum so that people know if you do this, you will be caught, you'll be slapped with federal felonies, mm-hmm. and you're going to jail.
Wow, so you're not a fan of the mandatory minimums?
No.
I love those.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never liked... Anytime something's mandatory, I don't mind if it's... If they make the recommendations, but I in the past, I've always believed in our system and the judges.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we're having to deal with this is we have a real problem with our judges nowadays, that they've been politicized. And so we have to we have to figure that out and get around that.
But you are on board with mandatory minimums in this situation with swatting?
In this situation, I think that if people know that they, A, will be caught, so we need technology to catch up because part of this, and even Ed mentioned that, and Sean Farish, the police told him about why it's tough to catch them.
Yeah, you can't track down a burner phone.
So they need to be able to figure out how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it deals with fraud. So you'd catch a lot of hackers and fraudsters and other crimes as well.
Right.
But in this one, I believe that it is such a gross misuse also of law. You're putting law enforcement in danger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a piece of it. And you're not only wasting their resources, but you're putting them in danger. Because what if the guy who's Ed's friend had a firearm, has no idea what's going on, mm-hmm. and that was Sean Farish was, you know, what if he was a Second Amendment person,
right.
And now he has a firearm, his wife is worried, and you end up with something tragic happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they're purposely trying to create a dangerous situation.
Correct.
For not only the person they're swatting, but also law enforcement.
It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210. Last story before we get to Sean Farish and the cut sheet. I absolutely love this. Some data from NBC News. Before Harry Enten became the data guru of my personal obsessions that I love to use in the cut sheet with his holy cows and his holy Toledos, there was Steve Kornacki. And Steve Kornacki is still around doing his thing. And I think this is one of the biggest political divides that I can ever recall seeing. So, Phil, if you want to throw this graphic up, this is courtesy of Steve Kornacki of NBCNews.com. And you can throw it up right now. I'm going to go through this. So the voter opinion of, and you'll see, for those not on YouTube, you have four categories across the top: white men with no degree, college I'm assuming, white men with a college degree, then you have white women no degree, and white women college degree, and then down the left hand side you have some notable figures and entities. You have Donald Trump, you have JD Vance, you have Elon Musk, you have Doge the concept, the Republican Party, Volodymyr Zelensky, DEI, and the Democratic Party. Now, to channel my inner Harry Enten here, holy cow, look at the disparity on the far left of white men with no degree, no degree, and then on the right, white women with a college degree. Look at the difference in opinion on Donald Trump. White men, no college degree, plus 41. White women with a college degree, minus 38. If my math is correct, that's a 79-point difference. Look at J.D. Vance, almost identical. Elon Musk, massive difference. Doge, Republican Party, Democrat Party, all the way down. Now, if you look in the second and third columns, white men with a college degree almost are neutral, give or take a few points on all of those people we mentioned. White women with no degree have a favorable view. But we talked about it this morning, and Dawn, you illustrated it, this cultural divide, especially on the college campuses like Penn. I think Penn University and that story, the perfect illustration and example of the differences here, where we are in America. It's not black-white, it's not gay-straight, it's not necessarily Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. It is white men with no college degree against white women with a college degree. And I said that I thought the biggest challenge for Donald Trump this past fall in the election was white liberal women. Women probably 45 plus, the same ones that are still masked up, the same ones with TikTok videos, calling for the death of Elon Musk, the Ukraine flag in their yard, BLM signage. I thought that was the weak spot for Donald Trump if he would have lost the election. He did not. But if you look at that data, what does that tell you? Why is there such a big contrast in white men that call it a day after high school? Maybe they become a firefighter, a police officer, they go to trade school, and then you have white women that get a four-year degree, a master's, a doctorate's degree. Why is there such a big disparity pretty much on everything under the sun politically and culturally?
I also think there has been such an attack on men and males going, and I've talked about this with my brother from back in the day, but especially supersized over the past 20 years. And so I think that this has taken time and has percolated and so on. But I think what we've all done is we've looked around and said this whole situation in upside down land, as many of us call it, is ridiculous. So for men and males, you never should have to apologize for being male, for right. being a boy, for being a teenage boy, for being a man. And too often in our society, and we've seen it in so-called mainstream media, in the news, look at the commercials. That's what we notice. In the commercials, do you ever notice that the guys in general in commercials, even a lot of the sitcoms, they're the doofus, they're the idiot.
Or they're a beta.
And especially, or they talk like this and they have like this more effeminate manner to them,
mm-hmm.
which if you naturally talk like that, but I just think, I don't know, it's a whole bizarre thing. But do you ever notice?
Yeah.
That the white male especially. So if you have some guys, maybe the most masculine guy is going to be like a black guy or maybe a Hispanic guy. But the white guy, oh, he's definitely the big idiot.
It's,
you ever notice that?
Yes. You see it in many institutions. You see it in media. You see it in academia. This is
in commercials
still. In Hollywood.
So think about it, Nick.
Movies.
Now you're a guy. What are you going to do? A young guy, what are you going to do?
Well, that's why I laugh all the time when I hear about all these communities under attack. I sit here and counter. I say, if you're a female, if you're a minority, if you're somebody in the lesbian, gay, bisexual community, you've never had it better. You've never had it better. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying I'm a victim, but the media and the Democrat Party and these legacy institutions have tried to villainize being a straight white cis male. And you got the Joy Reids of the world. You've got the Sonny Hostins of the world that paint this picture that is not an accurate reflection of America in 2025, that because you're a type A alpha male and you vote for Donald Trump, you're inherently a bigot, a racist, a homophobe, which is just simply not true. But they have tried to cast this dispersion that the straight white male is a toxic species. And it's the reason why I want to leave America. It's really ridiculous. But there's that divide here. Look at the point difference. You have these white women college educated, and I don't know what their marital rate is or if they have kids. I'm not going down the road of J.D. Vance and the single childless cat ladies, but he's not completely off base when he makes that claim. How many people are anti-Trump in the female left-wing woke educated community that has a high degree from a prestigious school that is very anti everything that common sense men look for, right?
But, okay, so let's look at all of this now together. Because we tend, in our society, we talked about this morning, the field trip canceled for little 7 and 8 year old kids to the museum celebrating in New Jersey, a woman who really dedicated her life to making equal rights and equal voting rights for women. But think about the women's movement. Think about that. Now think about this movement that we're talking about that really was against, I guess, masculine men. And so then think about currently now, and this took maybe a decade to talk about the trans issue. That's the latest.
Mm-hmm.
Put it all together, and here's what I see. An attack on traditional values,
sure.
on family values. And think about this. A study just came out, and I was going to save this for the big three, but birth rates for women in their late 30s and early 40s have been skyrocketing. And for the first time in our nation's history, for the first time ever, we have more women having a first child in their 40s, and that's more than teen girls having a baby, because we've had an issue of teen pregnancy. So maybe because of birth control or the birth control available, teen girl pregnancies, that's down. But in general, pregnancies are down until you're 40. That's what's on the rise.
Right. Well, that's all thanks in part to Elon Musk, because he's creating babies with every lady on the planet these days.
No, I think that there's, this is part of, and for years, and if you've heard me, I've talked about this. My husband says, write that book. My book would have the name The Women's Movement is a Scam, ! In other words, women are being told, and since I don't know, the 50s or 60s,
yeah,
that if you're a stay-at-home, full-time mom, what used to be called a housewife, you are less. You're not smart. You don't have value. You are less in this society.
Well, it depends if the dinner was made properly and it was good and it was hot.
So you must have a college education. You must have a career.
Yeah.
If you're just home barefoot and pregnant and cooking and God forbid, breastfeeding, you're lesser. You have the less value.
Well,
that's what we've been telling women.
Yeah, and that's the whole Harrison Butker pushback. Remember when he gave that commencement speech last spring, the Chiefs kicker, where he got criticized for pointing out how great stay-at-home moms are, right?
So wait a second. So you're saying that it's better that women get pregnant at an earlier age than later in life?
Greg, that's never what I said. What I said was that women and girls have been told for now, this is like, I don't know, 40 years, the talking point was that you have greater value in this society. Wait to have children. Wait to have kids. Put all of that off because you have greater value in this society. If you go to college, make something of yourself. How many women listening right now were told, make something of yourself?
What's wrong with that?
Make something of yourself means...
What's wrong with that?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with
any of that.
So make, and this is, I'll point out, a guy having this debate with me, but because you can't have this debate with me.
I'm not allowed to?
No, I'm telling you.
I was always told
because
as a
you
man
were never, were you ever
that
told
I was too,
that you shouldn't have kids?
Yeah,
were
I was.
You ever told that, Greg Stocker?
No, I was because I was too immature and I was going to be too broke to afford them.
What women have been told for, I'm just telling you, for over 40 years is that you are less. You are less valuable. Think about this impact. You are less valuable in this society if you get married, let's say right out of high school. You don't even need to go to college, but if you go to college, get married, have children. What's wrong with that is that both should be celebrated, that you should have a choice, and that if you choose to get married whenever you get married, to have children whenever you have children, you are, as a mother, you should be, like Butker said, you should be celebrated. And I would submit to you that when we talk about Maham, we talk about all this stuff, that the truth is when we started having all these problems with kids having psychological problems, when people having, you know, nutritional problems and all of that, go back make it coincide with when women were told, because women were the nutritionists, women were the caregivers. That's what women were. Women were, I remember my mom, that's why she went to work, right? That's the whole latchkey kid. That's how Gen X is defined, when we became a latchkey society. Why? Because moms were told, hey, mom at home, you're not valuable unless you go out and work. Do you work? That's what people say. Do you work? So if you were a full-time stay-at-home mom, which I would submit to you is way harder work, and having kids and raising your kids, man, you were not valued. You're just a housewife. You're not valuable until you go out and get a job. Look at the impact on our society. That's where all of this began.
855-839-1210. We're going to get to Sean Farish and the cut sheet coming up next. But quickly to wrap up this segment, let's go to Jerry. He's in Burlington. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, I called in on something entirely different, but just to piggyback off what Don said, you know, my mom worked, but you know, she didn't, you know, she basically just worked to get extra money. But the reason why I called in was I just can't stand all this hate against Elon and you know, all the Tesla dealerships and everything like that. I mean, you know, think about it. Those astronauts were up there for like 9 months. And, you know, they can have, you know, severe bone density problems. They can have all kinds of issues with their blood and all this other kind of stuff. And Elon brought them home, okay? And whether Biden could have brought them home or whatever, I mean, at the end of the day, Elon and his organization, Starlink, brought them home. So my thing is, you know, when ABC, when Kimmel goes on and says, oh, you know, don't vandalize Tesla dealerships, and then with a wink and a nod, it's a big joke. That's not a big joke. I mean, people people could get hurt, and all these Tesla dealerships, they have just like, you know, owners who are just trying to make ends meet, who are just trying to make payroll and all this other stuff. So that's basically just what I wanted to call in on. And again, like, I do appreciate you guys, and thank you for all you do, okay?
Yeah, you got it. There he is.
By the way, February 13th, those astronauts did an interview with Anderson Cooper and said that they do not feel stranded up there. So.
Is that true?
Yes.
All right.
Well, and NASA, and there was interviews with NASA, and said there's absolutely no truth to the fact that they were stranded up there.
Okay.
So, one day I'll be wrong. Today is not that day.
All right.
I think two things can be true at once.
They were both of them said that they were prepared to stay up there for a long time. Out of their mouths, they both said that.
Well, so. I was asking yesterday somebody to ask them the question: did they have the ability to come home? It's a yes or no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, saying that you're prepared, because I would say I'm prepared too.
Moving the goalposts again, aren't we?
No. Saying you're prepared is not saying I didn't feel stranded. And by the way, I'll just be honest, if I were one of those astronauts, they're very experienced people. I'll be honest, I still to this minute would not venture into that, because at the end of the day, I would be afraid that I just would not want NASA and science to be hindered by this, what's a small debate, because just by Elon Musk doing the rescue or whatever you want to call, whether you want to use the word stranded, I think was a huge movement forward for NASA and those scientists. And it's all about getting money. So the last thing they want, whatever's true or not true, Greg, I think no matter what, they're worried about being defunded. And we've seen NASA get defunded. So I think that's a real thing. But
so they're just saying things so they don't want to get defunded?
No, I don't think that. I think did anybody say to them, hey, it's the way you asked the question. So when were you supposed to come home? In 8 to 9 days. What happened? Well, Boeing, you know, had problems. They were trying to fix the problems. They couldn't. Okay, generally speaking, we don't like to leave astronauts up there. The max is 6 months. It was going on 10 months. So did you guys know, were you informed or given a choice that SpaceX absolutely 4 months ago or last summer, June, could have picked you guys up, or last July, I should say. Did you know that about multiple offers? Yes or no? Did they know? Did they have a choice? That's the real question, and I just don't know that they've been asked it. And quite frankly, I don't know that they want to be asked.
I just want to see if that chick's gotten her hair straightened after coming back to Earth. It really is.
Can I just say something?
There's an excuse for everything, isn't there?
No, I'm going to say something to you guys on the YouTube chat. The reason I said something provocative to Greg, because I thought Greg was going to say something different. Nobody's more supportive of his wife, who had a baby during the pandemic, than Greg Stocker, who
thank you.
I mean, is
no. I just don't think it's.
No, I'm going to get choked up.
I don't think it's. I just think that like it is okay for women to wait,
yes,
and to start a career if they want to.
And I didn't mean to say that.
Some people who have babies at 20 get to 30 and they're like, "What the hell am I doing with my life?" You know what I mean?
I don't name that happens. Name one. I don't know those women. I really don't. The women who've had kids think, "Oh my God." At the time, they thought it was like, what have I done with my life? But looking back, but what I thought Greg was going to say was, I mean, nobody's more supportive than his wife, even sometimes on our group text or whatever. And to say, honey, if you want to try to work at home and your career and da da da. And so that's the way a husband should be, like Greg is that. And I thought you were going to push back on that. So I don't want to come off like a jerk. But I thought that's what Greg was going to say, because there's no more supportive, loving husband than Greg. And that's what we need more of, a husband who says, hey, babe, if we want to have kids now, if we want to wait, but if you want to stay at home, we're going to work this out. And that's why Greg probably has, like, I don't know, taken over 8 positions. But that's what we want more of, the celebration of motherhood.
Enough of this gooey I want Angry Stocker. That's what I signed up for. 855-839-1210. Sean Farish is on deck. The cut sheet is coming up, but first a word. Speaking of electric vehicles, Piazza Auto Group in the Honda Prologue. It's Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge. And we're talking about a fast charge time where you can cruise the roads worry-free, and they have 3 charging options to choose from, including a portable charging kit for when you're on the go. Lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda. You can find them today with multiple Honda locations and dealerships in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, which is my base Piazza Honda headquarters, Reading, or Langhorne for details. And you can shop online right now, PiazzaHonda.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
13 minutes late for the cut sheet, but it's all right. You know?
Sorry, Dawn and I had to argue.
Sorry.
You know how that works. Dawn and I had to argue.
I'm a dad got in an argument.
No. And, listen, I could do their field reporting from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That's fine. I love the weather. No, that tornado was 5 miles south of us, mm-hmm. and it was big.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we've now made a new rule in the house that I'm no longer allowed to take naps on that couch because it happened again where I fell asleep on the exact same couch and then Brennan woke me up and I was like, no. And she's like, there's a tornado. Like, why?
Hell breaks loose when you go to sleep.
Jeez, every time I fall asleep, Trump got shot. We got swatted. There's a tornado. I'm like, all right, you know, we'll I'm going to have to find a new nap spot.
I do enough napping for this entire program.
Sure.
I've got that market cornered. Sean Farish is with us as we get ready. 8 o'clock right on the dot for Greg Stocker's What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday, sponsored by Meineke? When you step on your brakes, you hear a squeal or grinding noise. Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. And their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Let's start with a visual thing there. Get on over to YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Phil, this is cut 17. This is a male student who just won the girls 400-meter varsity race at the Portland Interscholastic League meet in Oregon.
Uh-huh, Portland.
You have to see this video. He is so far ahead of everybody else. It is disgraceful. This is Ada Gallagher of McDaniel High School, set a season record after finishing over 7 seconds ahead of his female competitors.
7 seconds.
7 seconds ahead, and I, you know, none of us run. We did, maybe.
I do on a treadmill, but
back in the day.
I do about 7 seconds a day.
7 seconds is a lot.
It is.
A lot. Can you roll this video, Phil?
Look at this. I would say down the stretch they come, but the dude's ahead by 25, 30 yards.
Look at this.
And all the other girls kind of in the same little pack, separated by 2 or 3 yards. Look at this guy. Look at that dude's quads. Look at that mustache.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Look at those calves. And here come the girls.
Yeah. I mean, that's so unfair.
Can you imagine trying to defend that, Sean Farish? I mean, yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of Leah Thomas against Riley Gaines. And, of course, this happens in what might be the epicenter of woke, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. I flew to Portland for an event last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, where am I? It was a really scary. Yeah, you know, I grew up in New York, but like Portland is like their version of New York City up there. And I was looking around the airport like, look at this. This is a different species of person. You know what I mean?
Portland makes New York City seem like a red city.
Yeah, it's like the Antifa capital of the world, Portland. So it's, you know, you're walking around and you know, it's just, and then you also have to question that might not be a lady. You know what I mean? So, you know, Portland's good. But if that was going to happen anywhere, it's Portland. The problem is it's happening in more places than Portland. And that video right there just shows you the disadvantage that biological women have against biological men, period. Yep. I mean, that highlights our entire side of the argument right there. You could watch that. And the best part about a video like that is, you know, it gets the point across without having to see somebody get hurt. You know, these volleyball videos and the one of the hockey player, you know, they get hurt in these videos. Nobody wants to see that. This video there goes, you know, physically hurt anyway. This video here shows you exactly why we are so against having biological men in women's sports, because it just isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair at all.
I'm glad you said
what happened to equity,
hurt.
By the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don, did you ever envision when you were growing up maybe doing high school athletics or even peewee level
track.
Stuff? Yeah. Did you ever think that when you were doing talk radio that this would be a topic?
Can I tell you something? This is horrible, but if my brother John, because he was so protective, if that had happened to us back in the day, my brother would have beat somebody up,
mm-hmm.
like, and then he would have been expelled. That's what would have happened. And
sure.
And I'm not condoning that ever.
Right.
But I'll just be honest. That to say that there's, you know, and I'm glad you said physically hurt, Sean, because the truth is, from the moms I'm talking to, and there's a case active right now. This was Montgomery County. These girls are emotionally damaged by this, and that's the UPenn lawsuit.
Yeah,
they're emotionally damaged, and they need to file. I hate to say it because it's none of us want to promote being litigious, but honest to God, these girls are mentally and emotionally damaged by this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I saw the latest numbers. The latest Gallup poll showed that 67% of Democrats believe men should not be allowed in women's sports. But when you combine Democrats and Republicans, that number is over 80%. Yet somehow, zero Democrat senators voted in favor of the Riley Gaines Act and Protecting Women's Sports Act. Zero. So you're telling me that not one Democrat senator believes what two-thirds of their party's voters believe? They know it's BS. They know that men have an advantage over women. And they're all cowards, and they won't vote to protect females. You can't have zero senators vote against it when two-thirds of your party says, hey, Senator Schumer, this is kind of screwed up. It's nothing but gaslighting. Horrible. It's gaslighting is what it is.
This whole thing needs to, like, these girls, I know it's easier said than done, but they need to just not race. Like, they just need to not race.
Yeah. Don't do anything violent.
I'm not.
Don't destroy property.
I'm not participating.
Yeah, no burning Teslas.
Just flat out boycott your competition.
Amen.
By the way, when boycotting meant you weren't buying things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's, we're going to light everything on fire. I'll tell you what.
Oh, but Sean, it's just like Bud Light. It's just like the Bud Light protest.
That's my favorite argument. I'm like, all right, show me the Bud Light distributor that we bombed.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
What a bunch of a-holes.
I think the only thing
I remember not buying Bud Light, and I never buy Bud Light. You know, it's
hideous beer.
Basically, it's like, it's gym sock flavored water, but it's, you know. I remember when I would walk past, you know, maybe a Bud Light thing in Walmart, fully stocked, by the way, because nobody was buying it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ever once like, hey, Brennan, should I light that on fire? should I tackle it and start destroying beer cans and just start like stone cold, just throwing beer everywhere? Like, should we? And they were like, she was like, I would never even suggest that.
The only thing I saw was when Kid Rock purchased a keg of Bud Light, put it out on his backyard and shot it with his shotgun.
Cool. But it's his. That's the difference.
Yeah. Correct.
You know?
Correct.
I mean, he bought it.
Yeah,
to do it on his property, and he's not hurting anybody else.
And he wasted his money.
The thing is, he actually helped Bud Light because he bought the keg.
Yeah, sure.
So he was just doing it to prove a point.
It's a good point.
You know, it's like, now if these leftists want to buy a Tesla and then light it on fire, you do you, guys. Yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, stop stalking. There's a website where, like, the Tesla owners' addresses are listed.
Yeah. And if you can afford
the internet.
If you can afford to buy a Tesla and then torch it yourself, don't ever come to me about talking about student loan bailouts again, because you just lit 80 grand on fire.
It's a dangerous society we're creating here with these now, you know, like you said, where it used to just be boycott something. You don't like something, don't buy it. And if you want to start a campaign about, hey, I'm not buying this on social media, I wouldn't do that, but you do you. But when you have swatting, you know, for social media influencers or talk radio hosts that you don't agree with, or you start swatting people who are buying Teslas or Tesla dealerships, like, you're getting into a really, really dangerous territory.
Mm-hmm. It's borderline un-American.
It is un-American.
I don't know what we do about it.
You can't talk about threats to democracy and things like that, and then because you disagree with somebody's speech, incite violence or cause bodily harm, right? Like, we talk about that all the time, that there's, you know, a cutoff with, you know, your First Amendment rights. Fire, that organization here in Philadelphia, they're all for, you know, all forms of speech, which is great. But, I mean, to me, and that's why I'm so anti-cancel culture and anti-censorship, the solution is not silencing or harming somebody. You combat bad speech with better speech. That's the way I view it. Try to one-up somebody intellectually by making a better argument, and maybe, just maybe, in this tribal world we live in, the light bulb will go off and somebody will say, all right, you know, I never really saw it that way. I might not completely agree, but you make some lucid points.
Yeah. I mean, cancel culture, you just mentioned it. And this is why cancel culture was so dangerous when it was starting. Because, you know, first it was, all right, I don't like what you say online. I'm going to block you. We're going to, you know, I'm going to tell my followers to block you, and we're going to do this. Then it's what, we're going to deplatform you. Then that wasn't enough. Then we're going to call your job. Then we're going to show up at your house. They've taken cancel culture and turned it into destroying things, like destruction culture.
Yep.
Because there's never been constant. Look, and there's nothing illegal, I guess, about canceling somebody from a sense of, hey, let me spread the word that this person is not someone we should be, you know, listening to or shouldn't have a platform. I don't like it. You know, combat it, like you said, combat it with more speech and better speech. But, you know, at least that from a legal standpoint, online, social media, whatever, you know, you want to mass report somebody, have a field day. It's not illegal. It's stupid. It's, I believe, cheap and dumb, but whatever. When you start showing up to people's homes, calling SWAT teams, you know, harassing them, however it might be, you know, lighting their vehicles on fire, stalking them and listing their addresses, that's a totally different thing. And this is because, you know, cancel culture was not condemned when it started. It was like, oh, whatever, you know, everybody has their right to an opinion, fine. But now we've gotten into where the cancellation of somebody, the deplatforming of somebody, isn't necessarily totally possible anymore. You are probably not going to be totally deplatformed from X. You have Rumble. Instagram has become more, politically lenient, I guess you could say. Facebook as well. So the deplatforming has stopped. You know, the desensitization to all of these. Oh, you're a bigot. You said this. You deadnamed this person. You misgendered them. That's no longer like the big scary thing anymore to say that somebody did. So they have to take it a step further. Mm-hmm. And unless they are met with consequences, real consequences, like we know. OK, we don't know who called the team here that sent those cops to our house. But you could watch, OK, the protests. You could get cell phone data. You could get of these people who are lighting Teslas on fire.
Yep.
They were able to scoop up grandma on January 6th within days. There is no get off of Fox News, Bondi, and get these people. Uh-oh. Please. Seriously. I'm sorry. Yesterday I saw it. I'm not telling them find my people who called. I don't know who called our house. I don't know who called the SWAT. There are people who are lighting Teslas on fire. And some of them have been found. Round them all up, do it the same way they did it on January 6th, and make examples of these people before the precedent is set that what they're doing is okay. Because if that becomes the new normal, that's going to continue for the next 4 years.
Yep.
It has to happen.
Sean, we go where the cut sheet takes us. So you just mentioned Pam Bondi, so let's go there. Cut four, Phil. She was on with Will Cain last night or yesterday afternoon talking about these Tesla attacks. This is what she said. Roll it.
I want to ask you about these attacks on Tesla taking place across the country. You've recently said that they are acts of domestic terrorism.
Yes.
Obviously, in bringing up the concept of domestic terrorism, I would think that opens up your department and the FBI into investigating who is funding these attacks. Are they organized? What can you tell us about all of this, which many are seeing on their screen right now at Tesla dealerships, and it's taking place all over the country?
These attacks are taking place throughout our country. We have charged multiple people. Get ready. More coming. One we charged in Oregon is facing 5 to 20 years in prison. We filed in Colorado. We filed in South Carolina. There are more coming. And yes, the funding is one thing we are looking at among many others. I was personally in a meeting about it this morning. We are coming after you. We believe these are organized. These are not individuals out there throughout the country doing this on their own. They're targeting Tesla owners. They're targeting Tesla dealerships. They're targeting Elon Musk, who is out there trying to save our country, and it will not be tolerated. We are coming after you. We will find you. And if you are an organized group who is funding this, we're going to find you, too. You better look out, and you better stop it.
And to be clear, you said you came out of a meeting this morning. At least to some extent, you are seeing some level of organization and behind-the-scenes funding that you can investigate and potentially prosecute?
That's everything that we're looking at. Yes, we're looking at all aspects of it. These are not isolated individual events.
I mean, yes, I think it is coordinated, but I also think there are just the rogue idiots out there. I saw a lot of videos. I don't know that these are verifiable, but there was a lot of there was a slew of videos yesterday on social media of just random people walking out of grocery stores that were throwing something at a Tesla. There was this one video of a dude who stuck his hands in his crevice on the backside and then wiped it across a Tesla. I don't know it was a Tesla because the video of it only shows the window of the car that was smeared. Are these fake and planted? I don't know how these people are just randomly recording and catching these things in the act, but I do think it is twofold. I do think there is a coordinated funded side and then just the random jerk off who decides to be a moron and ruin somebody's property. But yes, as Sean Farish said, get off of Fox News, Pam Bondi. That includes the Will Cain show.
You know, I don't have a problem with Fox News, you know, doing these hits and whatnot. I just have an issue with tough talk and no action.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I always go back to sports and I always go back to the Jets because they're the best example when it comes to failure. But, you know, it's like I heard Rex Ryan say play like a Jet and we went 6-10. I heard Adam Gase say, you know, whatever it was that he said, I don't know, with his eyes going in every different direction. And we went, you know, 3-13. I heard Rob Saleh say, you know, and I heard Todd Bowles say big boy football and we look like a peewee football team. I heard, you know, Rob Saleh say all gas, no brakes. And I didn't see anything but brakes. And it was a totally broken and disgusting show on the field. You know, so tough talk is great. And tell me everything about how, you know, we're going to get you, but you have to. Now, I get it. There are people who have been charged. Good. Very good. But there were more than just 7 people who lit cars on fire, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying everybody that was at that protest needs to be rounded up. But I can guarantee you that there were more than a handful of Molotov cocktails thrown.
Well,
anybody who threw one of those things needs to be found. And maybe you haven't found them all yet. No problem. Not everybody who was involved with J6 was arrested overnight. I get that. I'm worried that we're getting this presentation of tough talk and no action. And if we don't get action, this is going to be normalized. This will be the new normal. And you're going to have not the summer of love. You're going to have, you know, 4 years of quote unquote love. And it's not going to be pretty.
Well, to your point about the swatting stuff, Sean, why? I mean, that's obviously a coordinated attack because you guys weren't just randomly selected. It's people with huge social media influencer profiles that are being targeted. So this seems like a coordinated effort, too. Why are we not looking into this? Right.
Well, they are. Apparently, they're looking into it. DHS yesterday, Christy Noem said that they are, you know, tracing phone numbers now. Brendan Carr from the FCC is, you know, opening the records of, you know, the phone lines to anybody who needs. So it's, you know, it's obvious at this point after. So on Thursday, you know, a week ago, which is unbelievable, this happened. But we were like the third or fourth, you know, group that got hit, my wife and I. And then after that, it just kept going and going and going. Several of my friends got hit. There's like 20 people now who have been hit with these, you know, these false SWAT calls. So, you know, at this point, everyone can see that it's coordinated. And now we're getting, you know, you get the pizza deliveries and they have these strange names and the phone numbers are, tagged to the order are to the local sheriff's office. Now they're taunting our cops. You know, it's like, it's obvious that it's coordinated. So yes, this, all of it should be, you know, looked into. I wouldn't doubt that it's the same group and that, you know, half of the group is doing SWAT and half of the group is showing up at these Tesla protests. Who knows?
Sean, have you gotten any information in regards to when these are done and placed, and I'm talking about these calls for the swatting are used by a burner phone or a non-traceable, you know, pay-as-you-go phone that you grab for $10 at like a Walmart or something like that. Is it true that the authorities cannot track down where the location of that call was made? Can they find a way to track down a serial number of the phone to identify the location it was purchased and then maybe use store video surveillance to see if Bob walked in and bought the phone? What have you been told on that front?
Well, I've been told it's very hard, you know, to trace the location of the burner phone. And even if you could trace the location of where the call was placed, that doesn't necessarily mean that's where the person is anymore. That could just be the last time that phone was used. I mean, I think what you just said is probably something that can be done. You know, you could find out what phone made the call, where the phone was purchased, and maybe see who bought it. That's one of those things where we haven't had that conversation yet. you know, in the age of VPNs and burner phones and VoIP, and you can easily mask your location. If I wanted my phone to think that I was in Algeria right now, I could do it at the push of a button, right? With my VPN, you know, and that's just, it works. It's a great thing to do for privacy, but then you can also use it for, you know, nefarious purposes. The same thing, you know, cryptocurrency. I love it. I'm a big believer in it, but it began as something that, you know, back in the day, a lot of people used for illicit purposes, you know, untraceable and anonymized transactions and whatnot. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do with all these phones. I hope they can track them. I hope, you know, these guys who are whoever doing it, hopefully they got sloppy. Eventually they get caught. But yeah. You know, hopefully it doesn't take too long. The good news is I don't think anybody was swatted last night. So
there's a plus.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Midweek break.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, do you guys have any kind of doorbell video? And have you released it? Of those officers in and around your home when you and your wife were swatted?
So we don't have doorbell video, but our neighbor sent pictures. I put them up on one of my shows this week. I haven't put up the pictures formally yet, I'm going to probably do it soon. You know, we're just kind of waiting for things to tone down just a little bit, right? Not to kind of poke the bear. But we did get a pizza delivery the other night, and the driver was so upset because it comes out of his paycheck because he drives for DoorDash. And then everybody on X became a DoorDash expert and told me the driver was lying, even though we called DoorDash and they explained. When you sign up to be a driver and you opt into COD on DoorDash, in other words, you can do cash on delivery, maybe get a couple more things. If that delivery fails, DoorDash is going to take that away from the driver, right? Unless the driver disputes it. So the driver was the one who actually called the cops that night to have a police report on file so that when he disputes the failed delivery, he doesn't lose the money, right? So we called DoorDash and he did the dispute. They don't get reimbursed right away. Sometimes they don't get reimbursed at all. The problem here is, again, when we set it up with these pizza places that they're not supposed to deliver to the address and then it fell through the cracks somehow. But we spoke to the police and the two guys who came in that night were like, hey, we heard about what happened here because they weren't here. I said, I hope you did. And they basically told us that if they got another call like that, they would know not to send a full response again. So that's a good thing, too. Whereas if someone decided they were going to do the SWAT thing again, it wouldn't be to that extent because they've already experienced it once. But I don't know. It's very unsettling.
Yeah,
it is.
Shafe on the YouTube chat brings up a really good point, Sean. Who eats the pizza? It's a very good point.
Not me.
I was going to say, you're full, right?
Well, the thing is, we don't, you know, the other thing is that we don't even know if when they first showed up, like, if that was actually Papa John's or is it somebody, because we clearly know that whoever knows our address, like, is this really pizza? Or did somebody buy that shirt on eBay and pretend to be it to hurt us, right? So we were like, no, take it. Go somewhere else.
They need to change their policy that you can do cash after you've established yourself as a customer.
Yep.
Mm. It's really simple. Locally, they do that at Cosmos in Chestnut Hill. I have a thing on file. But after you're established, then you can do the cash on delivery, not as a new customer.
How's the pie over there, Don?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Yeah, the pizza in Bluebell sucks.
Cosmos, and by the, you know...
Let me just say something. Pizza in Pennsylvania sucks, okay? Go across the border and go to New York. You want pizza.
Here we go.
I swear to God, I cannot find a pie in Bluebell that's worth, like, salivating over. They're all like, they're mid. Like, it's okay.
Actually, I will say there is some good pizza in Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
Gettysburg. That's so funny.
Hey, who wants to go on the tour?
Let's go. I'm telling you, there's a great pizza place there. I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
But it's like dead center of Gettysburg, and they're really good pizza.
So,
that's it.
Next time we bring Sean to town, which I think will be soon, we should go around and do a pizza tour.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding when I say this.
I'm not kidding either.
Nashville, Tennessee has better pizza than Bluebell.
Wow.
I'm not joking.
Streaming live on
New York transplants there. So.
Yeah.
Cosmos and Chestnut Hill is at their tomato pie. I can vouch for.
All right. They're not paying for advertising, Dawn, so please.
They are
please.
Listeners, though.
Shush it. Okay.
So we'll
shush it.
You have to pay to get a mention on this highly rated, highly loved morning show.
I mean, don't you get the Odyssey really training modules on Plugola, Payola?
Highly respected.
Thank you. We will get to Mr. President because he was showing Laura Ingraham around the White House in the Oval Office.
And he's coming here.
And we have that coming up. But streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WVHD. Please hit the like button. If you're watching right now, please hit the like button. Also, hit the subscribe button. If you've never hit the subscribe button, it's all free. Please hit the subscribe button. It helps us out tremendously. Thank you. Tim Walz, is he on tour or something? It looks like he's playing a venue of like he's in a so he made this claim yesterday that he likes to watch his phone. He likes to watch the stock on Tesla drop. Mm. Like that's that you know that's what gets him off.
Yeah.
But well, his wife too, gets off to the smell of burning tires.
Yeah. But my bigger question in this is that, like, do people pay to see Tim Walz? Is he doing, like, speaking tours or something?
No, and they stopped busing in Kamala supporters, so there's nobody there to see Tim.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD to see this video. Roll this.
Saying on my phone, I don't know, some of you know this on the iPhone, they've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping.
I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of people there. Doesn't it?
And if you own one, we're not blaming you. You can take dental floss and pull the Tesla thing off, you know, and take out, just telling you.
Mm. Like, is he on a comedy tour?
I don't know. $225 a share, huh?
Opening up for Bill Burr.
Well, I think he's his book, The Tim Walz Story, The Journey of Minnesota's 41st Governor. So I think that his book, because it dropped July of last year, and didn't go anywhere, and he was, you know, campaigning. I think now he's on a book tour to sell the book.
I can imagine that. That'll be a New York Times bestseller.
The Tim Walz story? I wonder how many lies are in that book, right? That guy.
Chapter 6.
So there I was. Stolen Medal of Valor. On the shores of Normandy, carrying weapons of war in war. Tim, you weren't born during... Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm a knucklehead.
I misspoke. My wife says I misspeak.
I'm a knucklehead.
Oh, my God. It was poor grammar, or whatever he said, right? It was a comma in the wrong place. Stupid.
Speaking of that, what did you make, Sean? We talked about this. I think this was in yesterday's cut sheet, where he said that he was on, I think it was with Gavin Newsom, which is also interesting. So if you're a Democrat right now, you either write a book or you do a podcast. That's like the new thing. And he said that he'd be able to kick all of the MAGA supporters' asses. Your thoughts on 60-year-old Stretch Armstrong Tim Walz being at WrestleMania this year, maybe?
Well, if his ability to fight is anything like his ability to load a shotgun, I'm not scared. So, you know, I think somebody could have loaded a Civil War era musket faster than he, you know, where you bite the capsule and you shove it down and then you give it the old boot edge down the tube. Pete Buttigieg loves a good ramrod. I'll tell you, right there, boom, right? And then, present, fire! Tim Walz is still loading the shotgun. You can watch the movie The Patriot, those militia guys, they were faster than that. So his ability to, if his ability, you got to give it the old Jeffrey Toobin to get the thing down the tube.
Nothing like zooming with Toobin.
The short answer to your question is I'm not afraid of Tim Walz.
But in all seriousness, though, is the
I'm
Democrats
also not his son? That's why I'm not afraid of Tim Walz.
But they know they have a male voter issue, and now this weird pivot of let's act like tough guys. We'll challenge MAGA Republicans to fight. And I know Tim Walz was being facetious when he says it, but you know, you have Harry Sisson and David Hogue are now trying to use curse words. It's like they've made this pivot from the new definition of masculinity. Now they're trying to portray toxic masculinity, which when Kamala Harris was campaigning says that was the issue with America. So it just goes to show you how hypocritical they are. They're trying to emulate what they were trying to tear down just 6 months ago.
Yeah, and it's the funny, the Chris Murphy from Connecticut, right, wrote like tough effing day the other day. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, look at how edgy he is.
Edgy.
I remember I commented underneath it. I was like, wow, you're cussing on social media, Rage Against the Machine, bro. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, you're the next, you are the next pioneer. Yep. You know, like, wow, look at you. Show him. F the man, right? Chris Murphy. My gosh. It's bizarre. And Harry Sisson's got his own problems. I don't know if you saw the whole thing with the ladies that he's been kind of. He's like Andrew Tate on Wish. It's a surprise. And I love the Tater Tot. love the tater tots who are like, Harry Sisson's a dweeb. And I'm like, yo, you support a guy who does something a little worse than that. So, it's just
so wait,
wild.
So the story for those people who aren't familiar with it, he's been asking women who follow him for nude pics. Is that correct?
Get up, yeah, Harry. Illicit photos on like Snapchat, which, okay, listen, he's like 22 years old, talks dirty, whatever. I don't care. I honestly don't care what he does on social media.
Yeah.
What I care about is the facade that he was this, you know, choir boy, mm-hmm. you know, and nothing wrong, squeaky clean. Oh, Donald Trump is a felon. E. Jean Carroll, he's a nasty guy. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Then you better not have DMs that look like that. Okay. If that's the because seriously, yeah. So don't tell me about someone else's character. And then we look at your DMs on Snapchat and you are a filthy, filthy person. Again, I don't care what you do on your own time. Just don't pretend you're something else. That's Amen. All. Don't be fake.
Amen.
That's it.
Speaking of being fake, MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle was forced to issue an on-camera apology/correction after she claimed the previous night that Tulsi Gabbard said Trump is, quote, good friends with Putin. She got a little blowback from that. I guess from Tulsi's, from that, like, they sent out a, like, hey, this is literally fake news that you're saying this. So they had to offer a correction on the highly rated Stephanie Ruhle program. I don't even know what time the show's on. I think it's on at like 11 o'clock.
Oh, boy. Imagine watching that network at 11 p.m.
So there's seven people that have seen this. More people right now are watching this in Salem County, New Jersey than saw it nationwide when it happened. Roll this. Nothing against
Here we go, now. Though. Last night, we reported on excerpts of an interview between the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and an Indian TV news network in which she said that Trump was good friends with a world leader. We said that world leader was Vladimir Putin, but the full interview shows that Gabbard was referring to Trump and Indian Prime Minister Modi. Clear that up.
Ah, so that's kind of the Sonny Hostin non-legal apology from the suits.
Yep.
I believe the Associated Press also ran with a story similar to that with Tulsi Gabbard, had to take down the story and then re-edit it because, yes, it was not what they claimed. It was the Indian prime minister or president.
Yeah.
But then again, AP, MSNBC, same thing.
Literal fake
Stephanie
news.
Ruhle is the one who grilled, you know, and I say grilled, you know, Kamala Harris and asked her a really tough question about, did you ever make a Big Mac? And people are like, no, the media doesn't prefer left-wing candidates. Oh, really? When's the last time the media asked Donald Trump a softball question about hamburgers? Okay, come on.
Cut 19 here, Phil. The president, who we have with us here this morning, was with Laura Ingraham again last night for their second part of their sit-down interview. This part, there are some questions which we'll get to, but the more fascinating thing for me, at least, was when he took her on a tour around and took her to the Oval Office, which I want to get to in 1 second. But first, this is kind of blowing up social media right now because he said that they're actually going to pave over the Rose Garden.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hang on. Let's watch this and listen, and we can comment after. Roll it.
You brought how many paintings into the Oval Office this time? Very different from the
I'm
first
I'm going to show you a lot. It's much different. Never been like that. You had some of those paintings in vaults and safes for 100 years.
Wow.
They haven't been exposed.
How did you pick?
I went by the presidents. I picked presidents, almost all presidents, some Supreme Court justices.
Are you paving over the grass here?
What was happening is it's supposed to have events. Every event you have, it's soaking wet.
Yeah.
It's soaking wet, and people get, and the women with the high heels, it's just too
much.
That's
where you did the Kavanaugh.
That's where
Kavanaugh
we did. That's right.
Amy Coney Barrett.
And the grass just, it doesn't work, and we have a gorgeous stone and everything else.
Okay.
But, you know, we use it for press conferences, and it doesn't work because the people fall into the... You know, into the wet.
The roses stay. The grass goes.
The roses stay. No, it's a rose garden. No, all of this stays. Just the center section. I think it's going to be beautiful. I think it's going to be more beautiful. Look at that view over there. See that?
Pretty nice.
Look at that. How is that? Pretty good?
Pretty beautiful.
It's a great place.
So you thought there's no doubt you're coming back into office.
There you go.
Well,
not the Rose Garden, but like a piece of it.
Trump is now officially a threat to the floral industry. He will be indicted
landscaping.
Again.
I can't wait for everyone to tell us why him doing that in the Rose Garden is bad, but paving through an entire forest, like a whole highway in the Amazon rainforest, for a climate change summit, that's a good thing, right?
Thank you.
Like, oh, Trump's destroying the Rose Garden. But, okay, the Amazon, literally, you're chopping down trees for a summit that's going to happen once to pave a highway to combat climate change. So you're fighting deforestation by deforesting, but okay, it's great. Listen, maybe it's a good thing. Like, our backyard gets a little swampy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
you better drain it.
Especially after all the... I mean, all that rain.
These are like, just so you can visualize it, if you're not watching YouTube, they look like those slate square pavers. I have these in my back part of my backyard, but it's a landscape, so it's not paving over completely as Caitlin Collins reported. It's just an area where the press or people can stand, so they don't, like he said, fall down. But it's not the whole area.
Okay.
It's right. It's
going to be like a staging area, like for them, so they don't get wet and don't fall over.
And I'm not a woman, so don't. Am I permitted to answer this question since I'm not a woman? But
here we go.
But
Sean, you can take the next 10 minutes off.
But
here we go.
But
duck.
But it's true. It's true that women with their high heels, when you're trying to stay, like if you're a reporter, you're there for something, and it's wet and it's mucky, like, you know what, like your shoes go through, like, that's gross.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grass is over, unless you use Natural Lawn.
That's
America,
right. My that's lawn true. Care company, Greg. But, my lawn care company.
But if you have the opportunity, pave over some things.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine if I was there with my flip-flops on. It's an inconvenience.
Oh, God. You're making some squishy sounds.
I have a new rule: is that flip flops should be banned anywhere except the beach.
Well, then you. Well, aren't you and Zioli just the footwear fashionistas?
No. I don't like feet. They're just. I think we should just chop off feet altogether and replace them with spatulas. No more stubbed toes, and I don't have to see them.
You know, I feel the same way about teeth. I think teeth are completely overrated. We should all be born and given these wooden teeth. Teeth are a pain in the ass, and dental insurance stinks. Get rid of teeth. Mm. We need the. I'm done with teeth.
Then you can't get a cavity if you don't have teeth. So that's that's true.
Yeah. By the way, today's the first day of spring. I might actually, depending on what the Dawn, what's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow?
Tomorrow, 55 and sunny.
All right. I was thinking about maybe debuting the sandals for 2025, but
we're gonna be with you all day tomorrow.
My dogs do not stink.
Your disgusting feet. Nobody wants to see them.
I'll trim my cuticles.
Trump also showed off his Diet Coke button.
I love this.
He has a Diet Coke button. Roll
so
this.
Funny.
Roll this.
Him at the bottom of the desk.
Where's the Coke button?
It's right here. Everyone thinks that's the nuclear. Everyone thinks that's the nuclear weapon. They think it's the nuclear weapon. They say if I press this, it's the end of the world.
Oh. So he hits the button.
And it doesn't seem to work out that way.
50,000.
Doesn't that look beautiful, though, over there? But to me, you know what looks beautiful? The Gulf of America. Look at that.
Which one's better?
He's all over the place.
He's giving you material, Sean.
Yeah.
So what happens now? When he does hit that button, is that an alert for somebody to actually bring him a Diet Coke?
Yes.
Or is it just a goofy prop that really does not serve any purpose?
Oh, so it doesn't...
No, I think Donald Trump is a big believer in functionality. I don't think he's pressing the button for fun, right? I think if he pushes that button, he wants a Diet Coke.
I mean, I'm wondering.
If you're a couple seconds late, you're fired.
I'm legit wondering if somebody actually gets notified in the nearest kitchen or vending machine nearby or refrigerator where somebody actually, I'm assuming, has other duties as well. But based on what we've uncovered with Doge and wasteful spending, there might be a guy who actually gets a salary specifically for delivering the Diet Cokes.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah,
we'll never find out with these judges intervening who brings the Diet Coke. I would like to interview that person.
Yeah, I would love to find out who's the Coke runner.
And also, does Trump prefer his Diet Coke as a can or a bottle?
Last administration, Coke runner had a different name, a different function.
Right. And it went up the nose and not down the mouth.
Line of the morning.
Yeah. New function.
Pun intended there, Dawn. Line of the morning.
Look at this.
Cut 18 here, Phil, because I want to take a quick break after this because we have so much more to get to.
And one last note. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Diet Pepsi better than Diet Coke.
Sorry for all the Trump Coke lovers. Diet Pepsi better
diet,
than Diet Coke.
Diet anything is gross.
It's not good for you. It is, but I prefer
Pepsi.
Takes the
pink off of cars.
I know. If you're going to drink soda, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you're going to drink soda, just stick with a Coke or a Pepsi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, diet stuff.
Less chemicals.
Yeah, thank
Coke
you.
Zero. Is it the best Coke yet?
Trump had a great line about Sleepy Joe Biden, and if there's anything he envies about Joe Biden, roll this.
Great.
Believable aptitude in technology.
What do you do when you can't sleep? Because you don't sleep. You're like me, you don't sleep at all. I know you just don't need a lot of sleep. But when you can't fall asleep, you wake up in the moment, how do you go back to sleep?
Well, the only thing I totally admired about Sleepy Joe Biden is the following. He'd go to a beach, he'd lay down in a cut, barely able to get his feet through the sand. He'd lay down, and within minutes, he's sleeping, and you have cameras watching him. I could never do that. I would never be able to sleep like that. That's about the only thing I think that was wonderful. It was a disaster. This man was a disaster. I don't sleep much. You don't sleep much. A lot of people that love what they're doing don't sleep much, I find. And so far, it's been okay.
I must be the outlier, because I love my job to death. And I have no problem sleeping.
I have no problem sleeping.
I'm with you.
I can nap. I can sleep. I can
do two, like that?
Well, not on the beach, no. But I can pull off a 2-hour nap and then get up for 6 hours and then sleep for another 8 with no
I
issue.
I can do it.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Dawn, you don't sleep either, though.
I did yesterday, though. Every once in a while, I'm like your dog. Like, I was in the kitchen. We have a kitchen window. And I'm like the dog who can, like, go in the and everybody's, like, doing stuff. And I just passed out.
And you
for like 4 hours,
but your typical night of sleep.
Once a week, I do that.
You only sleep what 4 or 5 hours a
yeah.
night.
Yeah, but then, it's like a bank. That's what they say about your sleep. It's like a bank, so you have to, you know, you have to have the battery recharge at some point.
Right.
We should take a break and come back and do. We have a lot more. There's actually more to this Trump Laura Ingraham interview where they talk about recession. We have more from AG's Pam Bondi. Since Sean is here, I have a story from New York City about a McDonald's and Target stores in a specific area there. Alec Baldwin and his wife, Hilaria.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys saw this. Yeah. This video is amazing. We'll play all of that on the other side.
All right, but first let me tell you about my friends at Natural Lawn of America, and I will reiterate one more time to Greg Stocker. It's my lawn care company.
Sorry.
That is why I chose Natural Lawn of America, because they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns. Maybe they can take care of the rose garden at the White House as well without harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and you're going to receive free seeding every year. How about that? If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding every year, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.